I don't want to take up too much time, but I just have to do this. Every time I speak or have a message, I always share a little joke. Sometimes people might not like the message, they like the joke. So, and someone sent this to me and I thought it was cute. So, the car won't start, said a son who just got his license to his father. I think there's water in the pistons, maybe in the exhaust. How do you know, said the father scornfully. You don't even know what the pistons or the exhaust is. I'm telling you, repeated the son, I'm sure there's water in the exhaust or the pistons. We'll see, mocked the father. Let me check it out. Where's the car? It's in the swimming pool. All right. Thought that was cute. All right. Can I tell one more? It's the last time I'm here. Is that all right? Okay. All right. A little old lady came home from shopping and found a robber in her kitchen. Scared and not knowing what to do, she raised her hand and quoted scripture, Acts 2:38. The robber froze in his tracks. So she called the police, and when the policeman came, he saw the robber standing perfectly still and wondered what the lady had done. And he asked her, and she replied, I just quoted some scripture. The policeman turned to the robber and said, why did that scripture make you act this way? The robber replied, scripture? What scripture? I thought she had an axe and 2:38s. Thought that was cute. I've had so much fun here. How many know that seriousness is not a gift, a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is, eh? Come on. Love it. For those of you who don't know, I talked about it a little bit earlier. My name's Paul Martini. I grew up in an Italian-American family. We are a very loud family. Maybe if you're from a culture that's very similar, we talk over one another. We have wonderful get-togethers where we yell at each other, but we're not angry. We're just really loud. And we just love one another a lot. And actually, everything happens around food. You know, when we became Christians, it was natural for us to fellowship, and so we ate a lot. We ate a lot of bread. We love bread. See, Italians, I never knew that it was. I'm the youngest of four children, and my wife, she's Australian, and we were married 3 years. We have a 1-year-old daughter. We have a little girl on the way. Is supposed to be born on Thursday, so we're just. We're excited about that. It is the Lord that I'm here, okay? She has grace for me to be here at this moment. And I didn't realize I eat really fast. And the reason why I eat really fast, and my wife says, you know, it's really rude that you eat really fast. I actually have to slow myself down. I have to tell myself not to eat so fast because I eat so fast because when you're the youngest of four at an Italian dinner setting, you know, your mom puts out the spaghetti, the raviolis, the Italian sausage, the meatballs. If you don't eat fast, you won't get seconds. But of course, if I'm really honest with you, my mother doesn't know how to cook for just, you know, 6 to 8 people. She cooks for 20 people. And then we eat the rest of it throughout the week. We love bread. We love carbs. We don't think carbs are a sin. We think that theology's heresy. And that's a diet plan from the devil, you know, straight from hell, straight from hell. We would carbo load, man. It's almost like we could run a marathon because I remember, you know, my mom would put the pasta in the fridge cold, and you know how there's no sauce with it, it sticks together. And then I used to cut out a cube of it, and I used to butter bread and put that cube, and I'd have a pasta sandwich. Now, it can't get any more carbs than that. I'm telling you. And I didn't know, my grandma, my parents, I mean, they made us eat, not until we were full, but until you couldn't eat anymore. They didn't ask you if you were full. They said, can you eat more? I said, well, I could. Well, all right, here's another serving. That's how they loved you. I love bread. One of the things about bread is just fascinating to me. I've been to over 35 different nations, and when you go to different nations, it's fascinating how every nation has its own version of bread. You go to France, you got croissants, French baguettes. Italians have all different types of bread, garlic bread. By the way, my family loves garlic too. My mom would just eat garlic straight. And to make her feel better, she'd have everyone else eat garlic so no one knew who stunk. But anyway, I remember the first time I went to a party, like at one of the first social gatherings, I think I was in seventh grade, and everyone said, "Man, you smell like an Italian hoagie." Because my parents are just frying all this food all the time. Just anyway, getting off track. But you know, you go to France, there's all those baguettes. You go to Indian, you have India, you have naan, which I love naan bread. You go to Mexico, you have tortillas. You go to, you know, almost anywhere in the country, almost anywhere in the world, there's all different types of bread. And you know what's amazing is I think God, he knew this about humanity and civilization. I think he made the most relevant, you know, as a pastor teacher, you want to try to make the most relevant message you can that could relate to people. And I think God, he made a message that humanity would know would be relevant throughout the history of civilization and time. You know what Bethlehem means? You know where Jesus was born? Do you know what it actually means? House of bread. You know what Jesus called himself? The bread of life. You know what Jesus told his followers? He said, "If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have everlasting life." Jesus knew this relevance. You know, the first time bread's actually even mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis. After the fall of man, God said, "You now shall eat bread by the sweat of your brow every day of your life." And I think bread is something that we need to talk about today. Is that all right? As an itinerant speaker, I speak the same messages all the time. And I get to sharpen them and make them really nice packages to deliver to people. But because I feel so welcomed here and like family, this is a raw message for me. So I might not land it perfectly. It might be a little bumpy. But I appreciate the grace you extend to me. All right. Jesus said, when the disciples asked, "How should we pray?" Jesus said in Luke 11:2, he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" I love this section of scripture. We've, especially in the stream of churches throughout the world, we've emphasized this amazing portion of scripture because it's understanding the reality that God had always intended for his will to be done as it is in heaven on earth. And so if his will for heaven is it to be disease-free, his will for earth is it for it to be disease-free. And so that reality, that revelation is so key. But I find often that we stop there. Because Jesus continues to say in Luke 11:3, he continues to pray, "Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." This prayer is a powerful prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And so I love focusing on the emphasis that Jesus is emphasizing in this prayer. And when we look at God, at Jesus saying, "Give us today our daily bread," we don't realize that that actually doesn't necessarily mean what we think it means. Oftentimes, especially in this past more recent church history, we've always applied that scripture to mean, "Jesus, give us our daily needs. God, whatever we need today, give us our daily needs." But it actually is not the what Jesus originally intended. That's not what he meant by "give us today our daily bread." You know what? It's actually a redundant statement, that statement. It would be like this: "God, give me today's bread today. Could I have today's bread today?" It doesn't make any sense. The original word for that daily is actually a word that's never been shown in the Greek. It's never been in old Greek texts. It's not been in modern Greek texts. No linguist really knew what exactly that word meant. It's the literal word's called, I can't pronounce it very well, but epiosis. You can look it up yourself. Linguists had 32 different translations of what it could possibly mean until more recently they realized that this word, they used to think that the apostles, the ones who wrote this scripture in Luke and was it in Mark? Was it also in Mark, the prayer? Matthew, that's it. Matthew and Luke, this prayer is mentioned. And so those two times, they thought they made that word up. But they realized that this word is actually more of an Aramaic word. And the closest translation we have today is a language called Syriac. And they say that this word would actually be translated better, "Give us the bread that never runs out." See, Jesus says, "If you eat from me and drink from me, you'll never hunger or thirst again." In John 4, Jesus told the woman at the well, if you drink what I have to offer, you will never thirst again. Now, he wasn't talking about a water that was just from the well, or like natural water, but he was talking about a supernatural water, that God-shaped hole that we used to have, that we will not be hungry again. But I used to think that Jesus just meant, if you drink me once, then you'll never thirst again. But actually, what it means is that we would always continually have enough of him to eat from and drink from. He's more than enough. There's nothing else that we need to add or take away. Jesus is more than enough. And Jesus does this amazing thing. Now, if you've ever had the Holy Spirit lead you in what to read in the Bible, this happens to me quite often. You know, the Lord will say, "Paul, read this scripture," and I'll read it. And he'll say, "Read it again," and I'll read it again. And I'll say, "Read it again," and I'll read it again. And finally, I start getting understanding of what, and I start studying it, getting understanding. And I realize, oh, God, you're leading me in this direction because I need to apply it to my life. And God told me to read John 6, the whole chapter. Which is, you know, fine on a normal basis, except it's 71 verses long. It's not like this little thing, you know, because, you know, sometimes one scripture can just bring so much amazing understanding. But God, what are you doing? You know, read it again. All right, so I'm reading again. Read it again. All right, I'm reading again. Read it again. I read it again. And I realized that the whole scripture, even though there's different things that happen in John 6, is that it's all about bread. The whole thing is about bread. Jesus, it's a popular scripture. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'll talk to you about it a little bit. Jesus is on a hill, and he sees that there's a crowd of 5,000, not including women and children, that are following him. It's Passover time, and he realizes that there's nothing to feed them with. And I realize that Jesus came up. He's setting them up because he's the one who brings up the suggestion. Where are we going to give them bread? It was his suggestion. And, of course, the two disciples, they say, well, you know, We don't even have enough money to feed all these people. The other one says, we have this little boy here. He's got a fish. He's got fish and some bread. I think the multiplication of fish is just a collateral blessing because Jesus only asked for bread, if you think about it. But he gave him fish too, which is awesome. And Jesus multiplies the bread. But what's amazing about this multiplication is that there was so much bread that there was more than enough. There was 12 baskets full left over. Which was probably because there was 12 disciples who was just handing it out to everybody. And so each of them had a basket. That's one of the things. And Jesus was revealing his divinity there in a sense, because there was a prophet before who fed 100 men on 20 loaves of bread. And Jesus feeds 20,000 people, estimated, with 5 loaves of bread. Reveals his divinity. Then it says that the disciples get in a boat. Jesus stays back. He realizes that they want to try to make him king. That wasn't the point of his message. He disappears. They go on in separate boats. And through the night, the disciples are trying to row to the other side of the sea. But the storm rises up, and they can't get there. And Jesus is, you know, going through a stroll on the water, you know, like he does. And disciples are so scared, they think he's a ghost. They've never seen anything like it. And Jesus says this amazing thing. He says, "Fear not, for I am he." The literal translation is, "I am." The same "I am" that God says, "I am that I am." And what Jesus was actually saying, and this is a side note, but what Jesus was actually saying there was, I am that I am. Because before, we knew, the disciples even knew, every prophet before had split the waters and walked through it. but Jesus in his divinity walked on it, prophesied his divinity to them. And it says, once he got in that boat, it immediately reached to the other side. I want that miracle, that translation miracle, you know, where you can just like get in a plane and you don't even fly it. You know what I mean? I've had a friend who says, you know, like he went into the bathroom and he ended up in China, you know, and I've heard that story. Have you ever heard that story? Amazing story. And so I'm still waiting for that miracle. But then the people, the followers, they're following him for natural bread. They followed him from the other side. They see that Jesus is there. And he says, you're following me for bread, for natural bread. But I have bread where you'll eat and never hunger again. Now, what he says next makes most of his followers leave him, because any Jewish or Roman person, it was illegal to do human sacrifice, cannibalism, eating human flesh. In a Jewish society, it was illegal. So to do any human sacrifice or eating flesh and blood. And so when Jesus says this to them, most of his followers leave him, except for the faithful 12. And he says, are you going to leave me too? And they said, where can we go? For you have the words of eternal life. And Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus also talks about the Father. He says, how good is the Father that when you ask him for bread, he will not give you a stone. Do you remember this? And then what's amazing, what I find is amazing, is that Jesus is anointed, when he gets baptized and is anointed by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit falls on him. And God says, this is my beloved son. Tells him his identity, you know, tells everyone his identity, who I am well pleased. The nature of the enemy is to always challenge the word that's spoken over your life. Do you know that? It says the Spirit immediately led him into the wilderness, and Satan constantly tempts the word over Jesus' life. Says, if you are the Son of God. Did you notice this? God said, you're the Son of God. And then Satan says, if you're the Son of God. But what Satan does is really interesting. He gives Jesus stones and says, if you're the Son of God, make these bread. This is such the enemy. This is such the world. You know, the world will try to make you eat stones, calling them bread. The world will constantly offer you stones in your everyday life. It'll try to make you feed that thing that is supposed to be Jesus Christ, that the desires of your heart, that we were fashioned to be worshipers of God, to be in relationship with Jesus, and try to make you, even though you are sons and daughters of God, the enemy will say, yeah, but here's some stones. You can feed on these to help your hunger. I know this in my own life. I told you this was for me. This isn't for you. Necessarily, this word was for my own heart. When I was in the ministry school, I remember we used to worship every day for 40, 45 minutes, and it transformed my life. I mean, just starting your morning out in worship is enough. It's just so, it's transformative. And I suggest if you have time, do it. I used to, even as I get ready in the morning, I would put music on, worship music, because I wanted to start my day. I wanted, the first thing that I did was to worship God. And it was like I was feeding on him for the day, because there's always enough of him. There's never like I'm gonna run out. It's never like I'm gonna be full where I can't eat anymore. There'll be always times where I can eat from the bread of heaven, who's Jesus Christ. And I remember one time, in my career, I was in business. I did some things in finances, and I love news, the news media. I would read every different news site. I'd read, you know, all different types of news. And sometimes I still do. And when the smartphone came out, it was like news access right to my phone, and I didn't even realize, as I slowly started reading more and more news and how it was taking up even more and more time and more access. I started downloading more and more apps that would give me more and more information, because more information, global markets, globalization, financial markets, I wanted to know it all. I wanted to know what oil was doing, what gold was doing, all that stuff. I actually found an app that would read me the news by the hour. And I remember starting my morning, all of a sudden, listening to the news so I could save time. And I remember, even as I traveled, I was ministering. Can I be real with you guys? Being dry, being hungry, and going, something's not right. I can't put my finger on it. Something, I'm hungry. I'm not eating the way I did. I remember my father, he was in an insurance business and annuities, and so he was not in the ministry, but always had a love for the Lord, always worshiped, and was just, you know, he fell in love with Jesus. He got saved in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the 80s, him and my mom. And then they ended up going to an Italian-American Pentecostal church. And so that's kind of the church I ended up growing up in. But I remember my father sitting me down and said, Paul, just because you're a minister, just because you're ministering, doesn't make it a supplement for your relationship with Jesus. Don't think you're not susceptible of being dry, being deceived. And I remember the Lord taking me through and saying, Paul, you haven't eaten me enough. You haven't listened to the words that I speak. You haven't spent time with me. And I remember that I was deceived. I was given stones and started eating them as bread. Sometimes we pray this prayer on earth as it is in heaven, and we live in just encounter to encounter, but in between times, we don't live off the bread of heaven, the bread of life that God's given to us. Maybe we go from Sunday to Sunday, coming just to this service, which is an awesome service that you will get fed, but you don't feed on him every day like you should. And maybe, you know, my friend Leif Hetland, and you know, he's a friend of this house, says, you know, deception is deceiving. Sometimes you just don't know you're deceived, because that's why it's deception. And the Lord needs to show you, or speak through somebody to show you. And I remember getting the revelation that the enemy had given me stones and I ate them as bread. And I feel like sometimes, even as Christians, we walk around with bellies that are really enlarged because we've eaten so many stones thinking they were bread, but never really having nutrition. Never really feeding ourselves. But I want you to know that Jesus is here. Of course you're his son, you're his daughter. Of course, if you've accepted him, Christ is in you. But you know, Christ is all about relationship. Jesus made this even relevant in communion. He said, this bread, it represents my body. This wine, it represents my blood. Do you remember this? Depending on your denomination, there's a high value of communion or a memorial or just a remembrance of communion. But regardless of that, Jesus still made it one of the number one typologies of who he was. It always amazes me when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again on the third day, but there was others who still didn't see him. They were walking down a road and there were two disciples were talking to themselves, and they said to one another, you know, what's happening? And maybe everything Jesus said wasn't real. And you know, the doubt started to build in their hearts. They started to realize that the bread that they had every day is now gone, and maybe it'll never return. And they meet a man on the road, and who's told them and everything about it, and says, don't you understand? Everything Jesus spoke, this was supposed to come true, and this is his way. And they said, oh, wow. And this man was going to continue on to the next town. But the disciples were so intrigued, were so blessed by this man's words. He said, please, please stay at the house with us tonight. And then this man sat at that house with them. And all of a sudden, he broke bread, and their eyes, the disciples' eyes were open, realizing that this was Jesus. And he disappeared. The moment Jesus broke bread, it brought them an understanding that this is the Christ. And they said to themselves, wasn't it amazing how our hearts burned within us when he talked to us? When Jesus is with you, when you're feeding on Jesus, your heart burns within you. There's this fulfillment, this satisfaction, this refreshment. It doesn't matter how tired you are. You know, when Satan asked Jesus to eat these stones or make these stones into bread, of course, he was the Christ. He could have done any of those miracles. But he knew that Satan is not creative. He only offers fakes. He only passes things that God had created and tries to pass them off as something else, tries to perverse them. Jesus, being so weak in his body, remember, he hasn't eaten for 40 days. Now, I've done fasting before. I don't know if you have. There's nothing fast about it. It's the slowest process in humanity. I mean, I won't think about food when I'm eating constantly, but when I'm, you know, when I eat breakfast and it's like, all right, now I'm fasting, you know, for 3 days maybe, or whatever God's called me to, you know, 2 hours go by and I'm hungry. Now, normally I wouldn't be hungry, but I know I'm fasting, so now I'm looking at my watch going, okay, 4 more days to go, okay, and 6 hours and 10 minutes. There's nothing fast about fasting, and you know, it does take a toll on your body naturally. You know, your body's not used to not eating, and so your body, it wants you to eat, and so it creates these cravings. It makes you, you know, start dreaming of food. You know, you start smelling everything. Like, your nose becomes really sensitive to anything, like things you might not have eaten before and might not have liked. You know, maybe you don't like Indian food, but if there's someone's cooking it, you're like, Indian food, that maybe I'll eat that. I don't know. This dog, he looks pretty good. Just kidding. Just kidding, wrong country. All right. And so I can't imagine how weak Jesus was. I mean, Jesus was so weak and tired. He was so tired that I can't remember the theologian's name, but he just comments, he says, you know, if you think about it, Jesus was so weak, he couldn't even get out of the desert alone. He needed the angels to minister to him, to give him strength, to just bring him out of that desert. That's how weak he was. But Jesus gives this response. He quotes a scripture in Deuteronomy, and he says, man, this is man. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We need to feed on who the Lord is. I love Dr. Martin Luther King, and just as a historical person, he was amazing. As a minister, he had amazing messages, and what's really neat, I love technology in the sense that you can go back through time and watch some amazing people speak, because people have uploaded old messages. Like, you can hear A.A. Allen at his revival meetings and see him praying for people, and Jack Coe, and some amazing ministers that, you know, today we would never be able to see, but you can see them in their former glory. And it's wonderful to see Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in his amazing messages. And one of the messages as I was getting my Master's of Divinity, they made me watch and listen to, and I'm so grateful one of my professors did. Martin Luther King talks about the major instinct drummer. And he talks about how, you know, even as Christians, the enemy will try to offer us things of this world that make us want to be like the leader in a parade. You know, the major instinct drummer is the one who leads the parade. He sets the tone. He goes forward, and the world tries to make us keep up with the Joneses, tries to make us want everything that the others have, and all of a sudden things that maybe weren't desirable to us now become desirable, and we start to make wants needs, and we get caught up in this cycle unknowingly, deceived, and so we even, like, you know, just the fact that I love that, you know, money, do you know money is called dough? Like, it's some fake version of bread? Isn't that funny? And I'm not saying that any of these things are evil in and of themselves, because remember, the enemy can't create anything. He just lies, cheats, and steals. But I think sometimes we get off of what we need to live by and come back into a life of worship, a life of prayer, and a life of listening to heaven, listening to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us in this moment, because the words that He speaks, they're spirit and they're life. And when He speaks them, we don't need the things of this world to survive. We don't need the things of this world to live on, because we can live on who He is and who He says we are. When you accept Christ, you become a son or daughter of God. You're my brother or sister, and I champion you. I celebrate who you are, and I wouldn't want to do anything less than that. But the enemy will constantly try to torment you and challenge you who God says you are by offering you things that try to replace what He says you are. Maybe go after things that sons or daughters don't need to go after. Try to make you orphans when you're really not an orphan. Jesus says, what's it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? What I think about what the world offers is that no matter how often my parents made me eat, no matter how much they made me eat, you know, sometimes I thought I would eat where we would literally pass out, comatose. Man, Sunday mornings, we ate so much, we only had two meals that day. I was in Malaysia, they said, we only eat once a day. It's just all day long. It's kind of true. But what's amazing is that when I eat until I can't eat anymore, I think, surely, I will not be hungry again. And then 4 hours later, 5 hours later, I want to eat again. You see, what the world wants to offer you, no matter how much of it you get, whether it's dough, whether it's money, whether it's cars, whether it's a gadget, whether it's something you think that stimulates you, no matter how much you eat of it, you'll never be full. You'll always hunger. But when you feed on Jesus, He gives you a fulfillment, a satisfaction, that you won't need anything else to keep you going, because He's enough. He will always be enough. He will never not be enough. He will take you from a place of difficulty into a place of victory, not by any other means, but by Him, because that's who He is, and because He loves you so much. So that's my message. So what I'd like to do, I don't want to be too long. I know that there's a place for healing in this place. I know a lot of you who couldn't attend this weekend, which is understandable, don't know who I am, but I just want you to know, I know that I'm just the donkey that Jesus rides into church on sometimes. You know the story of the donkey? You know, he goes back to the barn, he says, man, you should have seen me today. People were clapping, they were celebrating me, I was strutting my stuff, they were putting palm leaves down. I was like, yeah. And the cow says to the donkey, donkey, was anybody riding you today? Yeah, this man named Jesus. Oh, donkey, they weren't clapping for who you were. They were clapping for who was on you. And I know that I'm just a donkey. I'm not trying to demean myself. I know I'm God's son and He loves me. But I want you to understand that it doesn't matter who's on this stage. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And He wants to bless you. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to give you wholeness internally and externally. And I know there's words of knowledge, is that right? That we could talk about and go for. And so maybe we can display them. If any of these are you, I would love, just so that we can have corporate prayer. You know, it's powerful when the body of believers comes together in prayer. Do you know that? Jesus says, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so if anyone has any of these issues, I just want you to read them through real quick. There's release from bondage, breaking chains, head, the left eye, if you're struggling with pain or an injury from there, someone with lumps on their body, a knuckle injury, a young boy afraid to go to school, migraines, chronic neck, shoulder pain, skin issues, eczema, woman with right side pain, throat issues, fear and claustrophobia from near drowning, ear issues, restoration of children's relationships, rebellion. If any of those things apply to you, feel free to stand up, because I want to pray for every one of those things right now. Just stand up right here. Jesus is the bread of life, and he's here for healing. So I'd like you just to close your eyes, hold out your hands, you know, assume the position, you know. Church calisthenics, up and down, hands out, okay. And just receive what the Lord has for you today. These words came from the Spirit of the Lord to his children so that healing could be released in this room. It's not for any other reason but that. But also that it gives glory to Jesus Christ and who he is, because he is the healer. So Holy Spirit, I welcome you in this place. I thank you for your healing power and your manifested glory that's in this room. I thank you for the sweet presence that was here even before I stepped into this auditorium. God, for the aroma of heaven to be here right now. I just thank you so much. I thank you, God, that you are the bread that never runs out. And Father, I bless my brothers and sisters. I bless those who are standing, those who you called out by your word. And I speak healing to these things in Jesus' name. I speak healing to the head and the left eye. I command it to be right in Jesus' name. I speak healing to any knuckle injuries, migraines, skin issues, eczema, throat issues, ear issues, fear and claustrophobia, near from drowning, woman with right side pain, chronic neck and shoulder pain. We speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. Release from bondage and breaking of chains. Someone with lumps in their body, we just command those lumps to dissolve now in the name of Jesus. Command the dissolvement of those tissues in Jesus' name. Chronic neck and shoulder pain, I just curse the pain. Any pain in people's bodies, I just curse it. I command it to leave right now in Jesus' name. And I speak healing, the healing power of the Holy Spirit to come into their bodies right now. God, would you please rend the heavens in this moment, God? Would you please release the power of your healing right now in this moment? And would you heal what is broken in Jesus' name? We speak restoration in the name of Jesus. Father, as it is in heaven, may it be in their bodies, Lord. There is no pain in heaven. May there be no pain in their bodies. There is no pain or sickness in heaven. May there be no pain or sickness in their bodies. There is no fear. There is no bondage. There is no migraines, no diseases in heaven. May it not be in their bodies, God. I stand with them, God. I press in with them. And Father, as just your servant, we just speak right now. A release, a welcoming release, the warmth, the anointing, the heat of God, the healing power of God in this room. Father, I'm just waiting on you right now. As you're staying in this moment, just stay in this moment. There's something in waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we just think it's this instant thing, but sometimes just wait just a second or two longer and receive what he has for you. God, I'm honoring your presence in this moment, Lord. I just want to honor what you're doing right now. Holy Spirit, we just bless what's happening. I bless the healing power that's normalizing every cell in the body that's out of alignment with your will. Cancer, I command it to die. I curse its power. I break its power. I command the cloaking ability to come off. I bless the immune system in Jesus' name. And I speak healing to the cancer in Jesus' name. Command the cancer to go away in Jesus' name. I speak range of motion to people's bodies. Those who are struggling with range of motion, I just speak total increase of range of motion right now. Bless the nervous system and the skeletal system and the muscular system right now in Jesus' name. I come against blockages in the ears, digestive problems. I speak healing right now. Come against irritable bowel syndrome, irritation of the intestines. In Jesus' name, I speak healing. In the name of Jesus. I bless the abdominal wall. In the name of Jesus. Tailbone injuries. I just speak healing right now in the tailbones. In Jesus' name. I bless the minds and the brains. Any injury to the brain, any mental issues that people are struggling with, bipolar, schizophrenia, I just bless them right now. And I speak healing to those. Father, may your anointing oil flow through their bodies and may healing fill them afresh. Lord, just like in Rio de Janeiro when we were praying for this woman who had cancer and she said she felt like she was under a river of your power, a river of your peace, and you healed all the cancer in her body. She's already back to work 6 months later. God, that you healed her. Father, may your river flow right now in this place. Lord, we know that it's not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. So, Father, we bless what your Spirit is doing right now in this place. We know that by your stripes we are healed. And we thank you for what you've paid for, God. We're just standing in for what you've paid for. I just speak new body parts in Jesus' name. Father, I heard one time that someone said that they saw in the spirit a storage of brand new body parts. And so we just reach up into that heavenly storage, God, and we just speak brand new body parts right now in their bodies. What was damaged, irreparable, we speak restorative properties to right now. For Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, all the power. Give us our today. Give us today the bread that never runs out. Speak over us again. Thank you, Father, for never giving us a stone like the world does, like the enemy does, but you always giving your children bread for those who ask. So we're just asking for another piece of bread. Thank you, Lord, because there's more than enough. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to test out your bodies. If you can just see if the Lord's done anything to you and you've got either some healing, you can stay standing. You don't have to sit. You can sit. But if you could just test out your bodies, and if you felt the presence of the Lord or you felt like healing had flown through your body and you're actually somewhat better, can you just wave at me and let me know? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus. Thank you, God. Okay. When we pray for people, we find that about 50% get healed just through corporate prayer like we did. And then another 50% get prayer and get healed through the laying on of hands. And so we talk about both. And if you need prayer today, I'd like to call up the ministry team, Anthony and the ministry team, just to stand up here and just start. Just stand up here with your backs to the altar facing the congregation. If you need healing in your bodies and you need prayer for that, there's a grace in this room today for it. I know he's always available to us, but I just feel like this ministry and what we represent, we really love when God heals people. And so if you, I'm just going to hand it over to Pastor Greg in a moment, but if you need healing in your bodies, I just want you to stand in front of the people here who are willing to pray for you. And now this is what I want you to do. If you feel 80% better or more, okay, listen to this. If the pain subsides 80% or your range of motion increases by 80%, I want you to do something for me. I want you to clap
15 times real loudly, not like this golf clap, not like, but I want you and the person who's praying with you clap 15 times, like that, okay? Yeah, real loud. Not now, but, not now. But when the healing happens, why? Because it encourages people, because they know someone just got healed over there, someone just got healed over there, someone just got healed over there. And you realize the glory that's in the room because people are praising Jesus audibly. When we don't give God glory, people don't know what happened. And so we don't realize it. We think sometimes we're being really humble because we don't want to talk ourselves up. But when we don't testify, you actually take away from glory that people could give God for the healing that happened in your life. So that's why it's important. If you guys in the prayer teams, if you have an 80% or more that they can tell, clap 15 times really loudly, and so people know that person just got healed. Amen? Pastor Greg.
Thank you. All right. I know that some people, what we're doing today is somewhat new and strange, perhaps. And to you, I just want to say, firstly, you're most welcome here. My quest to you is, would you just turn your heart and your attention to the Lord and say, Lord, maybe this is something for me too. I understand that this is somewhat different and somewhat strange, and in a lot of our church culture, this is kind of really weird. But we're seeing a lot of people get healed. And that's beautiful. I went to the chiropractor the other day. My back was sore. And he put something under my back, and then he told me to put my hands in a certain, and then he walked up and he hugged me. And I don't hug many men like that. And I was standing in a weird position, and I had this thing behind my back, and he was pushing. But at the end of it, my back clicked in and I was relieved of pain, and it was okay. I didn't slap him or say, that was weird. I understand that sometimes there's a process to get to the point. We're not trying to be weird. We just really are trying to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, would you do what you said you'd do? So I want to encourage you to give it a shot. Say, Lord, let's keep our eyes on the Lord. We're not trying to create a scene. We're not trying to create a spectacle. What we are doing is trusting our God to make manifest the healing. Jesus never, ever, ever, ever once sent anybody to preach the gospel. Not the 12, not the 72, not the church. He never, ever commissioned us to preach the gospel before he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons, and tell them, this is the kingdom of God. So we're going to trust him right now, and I'm going to invite you in just a few minutes when I'm closing prayer, if you want ministry to come up, and let's trust the Lord to see breakthrough again, because we see this every week. But I'm going to close the meeting in prayer so that those of you who need to go are most welcome to do so. I want to just thank Paul. Wherever Paul is, thanks for that. That was lovely. And we appreciate your ministry over the weekend, and I'm sure it's the beginning of a relationship. Let me close in prayer, and then if you need somebody to pray with you, please come up, and we'd love to do that. Thanks for visiting with us. If you are visiting this week, appreciate you. Let's pray together. Lord, we trust you enough. We know you enough to trust you. You are good and gracious and kind and compassionate, and you're slow to anger, and you abound in love. And Jesus, you made a way for us to be healed. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd make manifest in a glorious way your healing this morning so that you can receive the glory. We choose, Lord, to eat and feed on the bread of life. That's you. We'll be with you, Lord, through the week, not just encounters on the weekend. And we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. If you want prayer, please come up now.